Are you ready to be a part of the Rebels for a Cause?
The Courtney Turner Podcast presents Cause Fest, taking place on June 3rd and 4th at the Factory's Liberty Hall in Franklin. Join creative artists unite and fight for the arts and humanity. Cause Fest is an epic weekend of liberty-centered music, comedy, lectures, live podcasts, aerial acrobatics, and more. Visit rebelsforcause.com to learn more. rebelsforcause.com. Let's honor art, humanity, and liberty for all.
Hello, welcome to the Courtney Turner Podcast. We are here live at the Reawaken America Tour, and I am here today with Alfie Oakes. I am super excited about this. So little story, but my fiance and I actually met at the, like, in person for the first time at the Tampa Reawaken America Tour. And as we were leaving, we heard you speak, and he has a certification in permaculture, so he was I keep joking about how he's not very easily starstruck, but I was like, this is the one interview where he's going to be totally starstruck. Wow. So he insisted that we had to go to your seat to table. And I actually had a flight that night, which I ended up missing. He drove me to New Orleans because we missed the flight out. But it was incredible. It's just like heaven for me because it's all like genuine, like organic, real food, which is, you know, kind of a foreign concept in a grocery store these days.
Well, so, honestly, that was what was the driver for me to build that store. It's an 80,000 square foot store. We have almost 800 employees there. We make everything from scratch, you know, from the bottom up. There's our breads have no preservatives. There's, you know, most of the breads have four or five ingredients, which is just like water, salt, yeast, and flour. You know, it's made with our organic heirloom flour. And we do 3,000 or so loaves of bread a day. And then even the leftovers we send to the homeless shelter because there's no preservatives. We want to sell everyone a loaf of bread that's fresh that day. So that I wanted to have a store that was that concept because I got so sick of going into the grocery stores and going down these aisles with all the pretty boxes. Right. And you look at the ingredients on there and you're like, I'd never put that in my body.
Like, you know, this is not, food.
This is not edible. You know, and I always tell everybody, it's real simple. If you know, when you see all those ingredients on the label that you don't know what they are, you know that man made that, right? And I always just say, if God made it, you can be sure it's good for you. And if man made it, you got to be at least suspect at a minimal. We're farming about 3,000 acres. We bought tons of seed. We got seed that we buy from Europe. That's not all the, even the seed is being tainted right now, you know, it's really, really, really crazy what I think's going on with, really like a globalist cabal of trying to control the food, trying to, you know, forget about the fact of them controlling it to the point where there's going to be food shortages. Even the food that we do have has been tainted to the point where it's not healthy. It's not healthy to eat, and it's you know, all I think for their benefit. But that's when I opened up the Seed to Table store. I wanted to have an experiential, fun store. Mm-hmm. You mentioned something earlier about how if there was a store in heaven, you know, and I've had that reference a few different times. I get all these amazing references to. It's not really a grocery store. It is more than that, but. But the people that come and say it feels like home, and I did have a pastor that came right during the heat of the lockdowns. We never locked down. We never masked.
So I know, you were such a warrior.
So I had a pastor that had kind of left California and trekked around a bunch of churches, and he was on a 2-week, 3-week trip, and the last church he was going was actually in Tampa. But he had watched me on a podcast, Alex Jones or something like that, and wanted to make the trip down. So he came down and he gave me one of the best compliments that I've ever had on the story. He said when he stepped through the doors, he said he could feel God's presence in there, and he said it was like heaven with abundance, right? Mm-hmm. And all the happy people and the happy energy in there, and I mean, people were coming in during that time and just falling to tears because they would come from these lockdown cities and see how amazing the energy was. But he said, I've been in all these churches coming across from California, and I feel God in this place more than anywhere else. So Wow. It's really, really, really.
It's incredible. Yeah, I love that. I took pictures of all the signs, like, you know, no masks allowed, and, you know, it was just really, really awesome. I was at the time actually living in Santa Monica, California.
Oh, so. Wow. So you were feeling the heat.
Oh, I fled. I had to leave. So well, I'm no longer there. But
yeah, it's amazing what Florida's turned into. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm a state committee man, so I get all the reports on the voting data and everything. So, you know, we watched all these people like really fleeing. It's almost like in the own United States, fleeing for political asylum, right? Yeah. Inside of our own walls. And a lot of the people that I know, all these people are coming from New York and from California and from Oregon, and they're going to bring their liberal viewpoints here. And the truth is 70%+ of the people that moved here are all voting Republican because the people were moving to get away from that, right?
They really were refugees.
You know, it is truly true where they say people vote with their feet, right? You go, you move to where you want to be, and that's certainly what's happened in Florida.
Yeah, well, that's really encouraging because I think people do worry. I know in Tennessee, where I've moved to, they're very concerned about all the Californians and, you know, people coming from the blue areas.
Yeah, no, it's concerning. I still think there's a lot of election fraud, and I think that they've done a really good job at deceiving people and making them believe that the blue areas are much more blue than they are.
Yeah,
you know, you can go around areas like Pennsylvania and talk to everyone you talk to is Republican. Even going in the city of Philly, I have a lot of friends from I sell to the Philadelphia Produce Terminal up there, and I actually have several employees that we moved from Philly. I think, you know, and I'm not saying that there's not a lot of liberals in the cities. There is, but I think that they've pumped up the numbers to make us think it's much worse. So if anything, I guess if you're conservative, if you're thinking the right way and you're living in one of those areas, you really don't have a choice, right? Who wants to tolerate that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I heard you say that you would potentially run for governor.
Well, I don't have a huge desire to be in politics. I really, really don't. But I do love this country. And if I always say if God opened up the doors and it looked like it was the right thing, felt like it was the right thing to do, then I would do it. I would do it more of a service.
It's supposed to be a service.
It's not everyone, you know, the people that are in politics because they like politics are probably the wrong people, right? So
yeah.
It was supposed to be a service. It's supposed to be, you go in, you do a few years of good service for your country and you move out I just know that I've been very blessed. You know, I grew up kind of dirt poor and lived the American dream. We have almost 4,000 employees now. Business is going great. I want to make my company an employee-owned company. So as soon as I can get that, everything squared away there, get the employees taken care of, the company's rolling smoothly. If at that time something opens up to where it makes sense that I could do something great for our state or for the country, then I might be inclined to do so.
Wow. Well, that would be awesome. What are your thoughts right now? What are you doing? You have the seat to table, you have all your farms and.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have a lot of processing facilities. We have food distribution, the restaurants and seafood distribution. And we're opening a new warehouse up in the Alabama area.
Okay.
For distribution. So there's a lot going on with the company.
Yeah.
And we've opened a few more retail stores. We just opened a really cool store just a few months ago called Food and Thought 2. It's a really, really neat cafe. All same way as Seat to Table, just all organic, clean ingredients, everything from scratch, and it's taken off pretty well.
And where is that?
That's actually not that far from Seat to Table. It's just a little bit more of a laid back concept. People were saying how it's just so crazy at Seat to Table all the time because you can't even find a, you know, there's 450 parking spots and you can't find a spot even sometimes in the middle of the day. So the evenings are crazy there at Seat to Table. We have all the live entertainment and it goes till 1-2 in the morning. I mean, it's not really a grocery store. So yeah. So
it's an experience. It really is an experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
We bought a steak and then they cooked it and then we had some wine. Yeah. It's definitely an experience.
Yeah.
So this one's more of like a cafe.
This is a little smaller. The restaurant, it's got more like real sit down seating for the inside restaurant. The outside got a really nice, comfortable outdoor area. We got live music outside. And then we have a market there, all militant organic market, where everything in there is 100% militant organic.
So you said that you've got 450 parking spots, and still
we're thinking about putting a parking garage in with another 300 parking spots, but they're expensive. Honestly, in this day and age, it costs around $30,000 per parking spot is what it costs to build it. So you're talking about something that's going to be about $9 million to build just we're entertaining that idea right now.
Crazy. Yeah. Do you think that's indicative of people waking up to what's happening to the food supply and what, because this has been going on for so long, and I think people are not necessarily aware.
It's almost goes in line with like the politics, right? So they've been planting these seeds of corruption everywhere,
right?
And they've been doing what they've been doing in the schools for a long time, but at a certain point it comes to a like that has such a critical mass that you can't not pay attention to it anymore, right? And I think that's what's happening with the food and with what's going on with the way they're trying to manipulate the food and what they're doing to the food. I think it's finally, people are starting to realize that this is what's making people sick is the food. And eventually you can't get to be that big without, no matter how much propaganda that you get from the pharmaceutical companies or propaganda that you get from even from the USDA, trying to tell you that seed oils are good for you or that this genetically modified flour is good for you. After a while, people become wise to it because they see the effects, and that's where we're at right now, I think.
Yeah, I think that's great. What is your advice to people who that think, you know, I was in the fitness industry for quite a while, and I did nutrition coaching with people, and people get very overwhelmed because there's so much. We now see the government has had their hands, and the big corporations have really had their hand in a lot of misinformation. And I think that's by design to confuse people. There's all these, you know, conflicting.
There's a lot of conflicting things. Yeah. I think that I always say, if you can get your hands on good food, you don't really need supplements. Now, we do. So many people do need supplements right now because the food they're eating, the garbage food. Well, yeah, we've depleted the soil. Yeah. So they're, you know, at our organic farms, we grow everything We put compost mulch and chicken manure, and we have a really good microbiome in the soil. So you have all the elements and minerals in there, and that's transferred to the product. Now, if you just grow it with chemical fertilizer, NPK chemical fertilizer, you're not going to get those micronutrients in it. So there's Rutgers did a study that showed in some items that are grown in really good soil could have 50 times more nutrients in it of certain elements than a conventional, chemical fertilizer grown tomato or cucumber or watermelon or whatever it is, and that's really what's missing here, right? We're eating food that has, in some cases, maybe 5 or 10% of the nutritional value in it, and then you put that food in your body, and you know, I always tell people, first of all, I give up fast food restaurants like 20 years ago, but you know, first of all, the McDonald's hamburger is not the same hamburger today that you would have had back in the 70s. It's not. The burger meat has pink slime in it now. The wheat is the genetically modified wheat. It's terrible. So it's not the same, and it might taste similar, right?
Right.
But you could probably eat five of those hamburgers and you fill your stomach up, but your brain is still starving for nutrition because the nutrition's not there, and it has to do with just about all the food. If you're even eating where you think you're eating fairly healthy, you're eating you know, vegetables that are not organic or things that have very minimal amount of the nutrition, and you're going to eat it. Now, obviously, it's not going to be as detrimental on your system if you're eating some kind of chemical fertilizer green beans, for instance.
Right.
Yeah, so they have much less nutrition. They're probably not going to destroy certain parts of your body like the flour or the pink slime would.
Right.
But at the same time, you're starving. Your brain is still telling you you're hungry, because it didn't get the nutrition it needs, and people overeat, and that's why we've watched what's happened with our culture, where people just keep getting heavier and heavier.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that was really fascinating. I saw a study done where they said, like, you know, over the past 50 years, the obesity had increased like exponentially, but the caloric intake hadn't.
Yeah.
And that's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Because people think it's like calories in, calories out.
Yeah, no, I mean, I mean, it's funny. My father was the one that really got me into viewing the world in this prism, not trusting the government, and being skeptical of the government at the very least. And it is because you can eat, like, I think the biggest harm that was ever done, personally, I think the biggest harm was ever done to our society is when they came out with that no-fat diet.
I call it the snack well era.
That's when we went off the tracks, really, because good fat, good healthy fat.
Sure.
And my father was you know, back in the 70s, he was telling, my mom one time brought home like that country crock butter or something like that. And my dad, he threw it in the garbage and said, don't you ever bring anything like that into the house. And he was talking about back then how seed oils were no good. And he was talking about he said, I don't want you to cook much fried food anyway, but if you're going to cook fried food, cook it in lard. He was telling my mom. And my mom's mom, my grandmother on her, thought my dad was crazy. She's like, what do you mean eat all the eggs you want? Low butters, no problem, you know. And now we know that. Now we're seeing that become the reality, right?
Totally.
And I've been blessed to be around fresh, healthy produce, like stuff that was picked that day for most of my life. And
sure.
I haven't had a cold in 40 years, not a single day. I was around, you know, 3,000 to 4,000 people coming to our store. With the COVID times, I was hugging everybody. I never worried about catching it because a strong immune system is everything. And you really get a strong immune system by eating good, healthy product that was picked that day.
Right.
There's a living electric energy in food when it's there, it's still alive. And as soon as you cut it, it dissipates. Another study showed that with an apple or a strawberry or whatever, in one day, it already shrinks in half, and in 3 days it shrinks into like half again, and so on and so forth.
Wow.
So if you go to grocery store and you get an apple that was controlled atmosphere apple that's been 7-8 months in storage, well, you'd have to eat, you know, 3,000 of those apples to get the same electric living energy that you get at one that you pick off the tree.
Wow.
And people take that into consideration. It's so important to eat product that is living, and you don't have to have all your food. That's almost impossible these days.
Sure.
But if you can, at any time, grow any fruit trees in your yards or any you know, different people have seasons. We have a long season in Florida where I live, where we can grow stuff most of the whole year. I know a lot of the country can't really do that all year long,
sure.
But when you can, it's so important to get it because your body needs that living electric energy, and you're going to find yourself healthier and with a stronger immune system if you do that.
Wow. Yeah, that's definitely, I think, something most people don't take into consideration. I don't think most people know that.
Yeah, and it's really very logical, right? You just go back to nature. What did God intend for us to do? God didn't intend for us to eat an apple that was in a controlled atmosphere cooler for 9 months. He meant us for to go pick an apple off the tree and eat apples during apple season, right?
It's
not that complicated. So,
right.
You know, we make it very complicated. I think they do that somewhat intentionally as well.
Fuse and destabilize, yeah.
But it's really, there's a gentleman I met, I was speaking up in Orlando, and he had a, like he called it a garden of Eden in his yard. He has 10 acres, and he can sustain his whole entire family off of that. And it's all different times, you know. Some things he has to just not eat because they're not in season during certain times. But he planted it as such where he had tall trees and then bushes and then plants and all densely populated. It can be done. It's not easy. It takes work, but you don't have to do it on a big scale where you're necessarily feeding your family every bit of their diet like he was doing.
Right.
As long as you incorporate some of that in there, it has amazing benefits.
Yeah. Well, how would you advise people to start? Because I think a lot of people are starting to think about prepping and self-sustainability.
Yeah, think about what grows good in your area. You know,
right.
I help a lot of people in South Florida and they come from up north and I'm like, it's a different animal, like growing in Naples, Florida. First of all, we got a lot of humidity and hot days. So find out what grows well in your climate and the time frames and try to plant a little bit of it, or at the very least go out and support the local farmers around your area. Try to find local farms where you can go and you can get a head of lettuce or a tomato or a cantaloupe or a watermelon that was picked that day.
Right. Right.
And then you know, you can get it done that way. But
are you familiar with all of the mRNA stuff that they're trying to put into the food, both in the livestock as well as the vegetables?
Yes. So I actually was on a conference call with my beef and poultry and pork provider.
Uh-huh.
And because as you know, I absolutely would never want anything to come in our store that was like that. So
sure.
And that's where you got it. That's where it's really important to know the person that you're doing business with.
Of course, yeah.
And that's the way, again, we go back to the way things were done 50, 60 years ago. You know, mom knew the butcher. She knew who the butcher was.
I'm so sorry to interrupt, but I just want to point out, you said 50, 60 years ago. That's not even that long ago.
Not even that long ago.
Right. Yeah. We're not talking about Paleolithic kind of.
Yeah, and maybe not even in some cases, not even that long ago. But, you know, 30, 40 years ago, there was the butcher, and you knew the butcher knew where he got the cattle. I mean, when I was a young child, and that's been, you know, 50 years ago, but the milkman was still bringing fresh, raw milk to the house.
Yeah.
And then they made a rule to pasteurize or homogenize the milk. It's the worst thing we ever did to milk. You made milk unhealthy. We sell at Seed to Table. We sell our biggest milk sales are all in the raw milk. We have cows and we milk the. It's just raw. We have to put on the label that it's for pet consumption only, even though everyone drinks it. I don't know anyone ever in 25 years of selling it that's ever been sick once off of it.
Uh-huh.
And then because of the ridiculous government regulations, we can't even display it by the regular milk. It has to be away because the government, that's the all-knowing government trying to protect us, doesn't want to put that poison milk next to what they think is the good milk. And it's exactly the opposite. The raw milk is so much more healthy. I've been trying to get people off of the homogenized milk for a long time, and I tell them, I did this study, and it's about 20 years ago I did this, and it was mind-blowing. A gentleman came in, and he did these live blood cell analysis. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but you can take some of your blood out, and you can watch your activity of your blood. You can see the white blood cells moving and the red blood cells moving.
Okay.
So what you do is and it was really amazing because you could take this blood out, put it in a plate, and get like really excited, and that blood would move faster over there because it was still had an energy connection to your body, which was, that was one of the amazing things. But what we were doing at this particular time is when we were trying to find out what the body's reaction was to homogenized milk versus raw milk.
Okay.
And a lot of people that you know now that are lactose intolerant, supposedly, right. It's not the lactose. It has nothing to do with lactose. It has to do with when they homogenize milk, the molecules go through like a fuel injector and they get busted up into real little small particles, which is why the cream doesn't come to the top, because
right.
The fat, so in nature, that animal fat, that milk fat would never in nature be in that small of a form. It couldn't occur in nature. So when you put it in your stomach doesn't really recognize it. It's actually so small, it goes through your stomach lining and into your blood, so you can't even digest it properly.
Wow.
And what we were trying to do back 20 years ago is kind of see what the effects of that were. So what we'd be able to do is we would come in, and we did the first morning, we did raw milk, and we waited 10 minutes, took a blood test, watched the blood test. It was all kind of videoed. And then the next day, come in and did the homogenized milk, and all the white blood cells all went to work. Like it was fighting it because it recognized that small milk fat molecules in your blood as an enemy, as something foreign that wasn't supposed to be in there. And that's why people get these feelings and reactions.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah. So a lot of people just are not aware. I mean,
no.
You have to really be paying attention. They've done a great job. You know, the America, you know, remember all the commercials, milk is, you know, the milk on the lips and all that.
Right.
And milk is good as long as it's the way that God made it. If it's raw milk, it
right.
seems like everything that man gets his hands on here is that when it pertains to food has not been so good for.
Yeah, it does seem to be that way. So I'm so sorry. I think I cut you off. You were explaining about the call that you were on with the farmers about the mRNA.
Oh yeah. So we get our beef from Braveheart in Kansas. Amazing. The gentleman that runs that, just an amazing guy. He gives us cattle prebiotic fiber, which is one of the only supplements that I take because it actually makes your own gut biome, your own you know, kind of produce. So you're not putting in a probiotic that's foreign from somewhere else. You're actually just taking and making your own So that's what he gives to the cows, and the cows have a healthy digestive system, so they don't need antibiotics, and they don't have disease, and the flavor of the beef is so much better. And so I called him because he's really connected in the business, and when I want to find out what's going on with something like that, I'm definitely not going to call the USDA to find out what's going on. So I called him, and he assured me that, you know, they've been the leaders on the forefront of not letting this happen to all the people that they were, and even other he's lobbied for other big companies not to do it. So, and they've done this in the past. He was actually responsible for getting them to stop using different antibiotics and things that they were harmful. He was on the forefront of getting those things taken out. He was actually a professor of cattle science for a long time. So he's really, really smart guy. And he really cares about the integrity of the product that it, and a lot of it does come down, you know, I think some of it at this point of what's going on is intentional, but a lot of it comes down to money. If they can show, you know, that to a farmer that they can make more money, right, then they do, sometimes they do stupid things. The particular drug that he got taken off the market was one where they were saying that it was going to do something for the cow, like putting more weight on. But what it was actually doing is making far less superior beef, and the guys were getting paid less. And he had to do studies to prove to these other farmers that this product they're using was not only toxic, but it was not making them extra money. Right? It's more important sometimes to prove that. We had a strawberry variety that was out in Florida back maybe 8 or 10 years ago. It was called a Winter Don. And the variety, the Winter Don, the great thing about it is it came on real early in the season, like in October, November, December, when the market was high. But the normally strawberry season used to start when I was a kid in Florida, well after Christmas. There was never anything. And then it moved to Christmas. It was Christmas berries. Then there was Thanksgiving berries. And then it was some starting to run. And as it kept moving, they found that the early markets were always strong. So they come up with this variety called a Winter Don, and the berry honestly tastes as bad as the box that they shipped it in. It was terrible tasting berry. But everyone was growing them because they could make money. Right. And they grew them for several years. They grew these berries until what actually happened is the consumers got used to eating all these garbage Florida strawberries. And you may or may not remember that time, but the Florida strawberry volume went down because the people became wise to it, like we're talking about. Right. They said, you know what, I'm just going to wait until California berries come out, or until my local strawberries come out. I'm not buying any more of those Florida strawberries because I've been burned on them like 7 times. I keep buying them. They look like they're okay in the package, but you eat them and they taste terrible. Right. So eventually they killed their own market, and then they had to reintroduce some berries that taste a little bit better. And we got people back on track thinking about, like, you know, this is food. So we want it to be nutritious, and we want it to taste good, right? Not that those things should be paramount to what time frame you can make the crop come off on, and how much money you can make.
Yeah, absolutely. What are your thoughts? So you said you grew up with a father who instilled a mistrust of the government.
Yeah,
which is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I think we need more of that today.
We do. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on what's going on with the agenda? And
I think now is even a different time where I mean, if you don't think that everything that you see on the TV set, and I mean almost everything, no matter if it's a commercial, no matter if it's a program, no matter what it is, and you know, if you don't think that it's intentional, right, and that it's trying to mislead you, I think you're just not paying attention. That's the reason that podcasts like what you have here are becoming, you know, what people are using for news and information, because it's just totally run by propaganda. I talked to Tucker Carlson the Tuesday after he got knocked off there, and he's been to the store quite a few times. He lives not too far away, right, and you know, he just couldn't handle it anymore. So he's going to tell the truth no matter what the consequences, and you see what the consequences are. You know, when you're even on a show that's supposed to be a conservative network, not really, right? But you see what
news, conservative network. Yeah.
Yeah, you see what happens when you tell the truth. So if that doesn't broadcast to anyone that's even paying a little bit of attention, how corrupt things are, and how much propaganda is baked into every bit of it. Right. These pharmaceutical companies along with the globalist companies, the BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street. They yield so much power, right? General Flynn had organized a group of guys. I was one of them. I was one of 10. And we were going to buy the OAN network, and we were going to make it a network that would talk about.
I was on there, like in the early, early days in San Diego. Yeah. But I drove literally 8 hours once a month to get there because it was middle of the day, and I lived in Santa Monica, and it was in San Diego. So Friday, it was at 1 o'clock, I think the show was. So I'd have to drive through rush hour to get there. And then drive back through rush hour is literally 8 hours once a month. So I ended up not doing it anymore. Yeah. But
So it was always a good network. Yeah. But they were even becoming not bold enough to talk about election integrity because they were fearful of a bogus lawsuit from the different election machine companies from Dominion and so they were, when Fox paid that $780 million settlement agreement. That's the cabal giving more money over to the cabal to make a point. There's no reality of that. No businessman, I've been in business for myself for 35 years, no businessman just goes and pays a $780 million claim or settles without even putting lawyers to work on it. They didn't even try to put the lawyers to work. It's insanity. And especially when we see with what Dominion did as far as erasing all the machines in Maricopa, and there was plenty of reason to fight that lawsuit, right? But they didn't, and we know why they didn't. But those are the things. The money that's coming from the globalist cabal and the pharmaceuticals are really dictating what we're watching on the TV.
They are. Yeah. What do you see for the future? Do you think there's much hope in fighting against that?
Yeah, I mean, the education, people waking up, there's a lot of people that are not, but there's a lot of people that are. And I mean, we're starting to see this. We talked about it today at the out here at the Clay Clark event about it's a spiritual war, and there's going to be people that are on one side or the other. It's becoming that clear, that crystal clear, that black and white. And I think that's a good thing. That's where we have to go. And we know that we're on the right side of it. And it's interesting times. I think it's a fun time to be alive.
definitely interesting for sure. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for everything you're doing, and thank you for spending the time with us today.
Thank you for having me on the show. Really love getting the word out. I have a site. It's called Alfie for America.
Great.
AlfieForAmerica.com, or I think that we have maybe on Twitter and Facebook as well as that. Even though I hate using Facebook. Personally, I'm kicked off of Facebook right now, but last night I was at the RPOF, the Republican kind of state of Florida Republican club.
Right.
And there's all the legislators from Florida, Senator Rick Scott was there and the Rubio. And I go into the state committee's men's meeting, and the first thing they have, the first 30 minutes of it, is this woman that is from Meta, from Facebook. And she's just babbling on, and I just couldn't stand it anymore. I mean, half the people in there probably are conservatives or kicked off of Facebook like I am.
Yeah.
So I finally got up and I just let her have it. I'm like, your boss, Mark Zuckerberg, has done more to destroy this country than just about any other human being that I know. And I said, yeah, and I asked the kind of the president of the RPOF, like he would happen to be in the room. I'm like, what are you thinking? Like, this is the enemy. And, it's really amazing people aren't paying attention, but we need these alternative ways to get the truth out. And I was hoping, I've been kind of praying that maybe, Elon's doing a great job with Twitter, but I thought that it would be awesome if Tucker Carlson could maybe get with Elon Musk and use what he's doing with the satellites to give someone a satellite TV station that was not run by the cabal, right? Because right now, when we tried to do that by OAN, we put a deal together. We were getting ready to execute on the deal, and then DirecTV found out what was happening. And they found out these guys were going to take this station and start telling the truth about it. And the first thing they did, because guys that own BlackRock own DirecTV, sit on the board of DirecTV, and they said that they're canceling their contract with OAN. Just as soon as they found out that we were doing it. So we know that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They've already got the power in place. They're going to shut down everything that they can. But we got to make something that we got to make the things that they can't, right? So the, yeah. I think the satellite thing is something that they'd have a really hard time interfering with.
They would. I think that's brilliant. I do know, I don't know what's going on with it, but it was my understanding that Tucker is actually still under contract with
it. Is, yeah. As they mentioned that he's working on his ways around that a little
right,
bit. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if he could do a satellite network. While still, I don't know how.
Yeah. I think he just needs to fight him. Let him sue him. Like, whatever. It's not about money anymore.
Right?
Yeah,
right. If they win, if they win,
your money's worthless.
They're already trying to push the Fed now to see who DC anyway.
100%. If we don't stop this now, we're going to go off the cliff in 2024 if we don't fix this. And I tell this to... I'm in Naples, Florida. I got a lot of wealthy people down there.
Yeah.
I talked to these women Republican clubs and everything. I said, I'm not counting anyone's money out there. But I know there's a lot of you sitting on, good money.
Right.
But if you don't invest behind the candidates, the handful of candidates that are fighting for this country, then your money's worthless anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're waiting to leave your money to your kids or your grandkids or whatever, but there's not even going to be an existence for them if we don't do the right thing. So use your money wisely to protect the other money that you'll be able to give them someday.
So true. I say that all the time. The people on the side of freedom, really, they don't speak, put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah.
A lot of times that's really...
Oh, yeah.
And the other side had no problem just funding everything and using it to leverage.
The way they make their money, look at how much money that Bill Gates made with the farmers. The other side is printing money while they're destroying everybody.
That's so true. So that's really great advice. Well, I'm going to plug the event because we're doing Rebels for Cause. So speaking of money, we have to put up a ridiculous amount of money in 10 days to make this event happen. And so it's Rebels for Cause. Cause stands for Creative Artists Uniting for the Sovereignty of Everyone. And we're going forth, but we'd really like your help. You have to get tickets within the next 10 days to make this thing happen because it's really expensive.
Lots of tickets. Conservative people got to support conservative values, right? This is how we make change. We did it with Budweiser. I canceled Budweiser. We're doing $3 million a year with Budweiser. When they put that, we kicked them out immediately. And we our place is conservative, so I figured most of the people aren't going to be upset. Anyway, my customer base is very conservative, but we conservatives got to stick together so sign up for this event here. This is going to be great speakers there. I'm hoping to get there myself.
Yay.
And it's going to be a good time and there's a lot to learn.
Yes. And we're going to show the juxtaposition in the culture because right across the street at Harlandale Park is the Pride Festival.
Oh, wow.
We had actually tried to get that venue, but it was pending for a long time. And so while we were waiting, we booked across the hall, across the street, which is Liberty Hall, which is beautiful, but it is very expensive.
American Pride.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. But Freedom Pride.
Freedom Pride.
Free will, right? Yeah. Take ownership of free will. And they're really coming after the kids with, the transgender stuff.
It's beyond sickening.
It is. So, hopefully you can make it. And thank you so much for everything you do and for your...
We're very blessed to be doing your store.
We'll be in touch and hopefully you can make it and we'll see you soon.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.